Thanks for listening to this Arrow FM podcast, brought to you with the support of New Zealand On Air.
Kia ora, everyone. It is us again at Aratoi Pathways to Art. Thank you for joining us today with myself, Becky Bayman, from the Aratoi team, and my lovely guest, Rosalie Jasenko. Welcome, Rosalie. How are you today?
Kia ora. Good, thanks, Becky.
Good, good, good. We're going to be talking about Rosalie's fabulous new exhibition, Shadowing Lands, today. But if you've not joined us before, this show is all about talking to artists to kind of delve a little bit deeper into exhibitions, give you a bit of a heads up of what to look for when you go in, and just have a nice conversation and kind of work out what the stories are behind the exhibition. So, Rosalie, I am so excited to talk to you because I know there's a lot of stories, a lot of depth behind your exhibition. So there's going to be plenty for us to talk about. And you've brought some lovely music in for us to have as well. So I'm looking forward to hearing some music I've never heard before. And I must be honest, I've never heard your soundtracks before. So I'm looking forward to listening to something new as well. So you're going to teach me something new today. So, Rosalie, would you like to just quickly introduce yourself? Who are you and what is your show called?
Okay, kia ora everybody. I'm Rosalie Jasenko from Carterton, originally from Wellington and have been in the Wairarapa for 11 years now. This show is basically in two halves, set up with a narrative which is based on the fact that my parents were Polish refugee children. They were in the group of 733 that arrived in New Zealand in 1944. And basically, this is something that has been in the system for maybe 3 years now, since Russia started bombing Ukraine. And it's just that reaction to having something like this happening 80 years after the fact that, you know,
we thought it was done and dusted.
We thought World War II was over with. Yeah. It was ancient history. Yeah. Something like this will never happen again. So, you know, referencing the family history was never on my agenda, but this is something that just brewed very deep inside of me and
needed to come out.
I had to paint it. Yeah. I had to just start painting.
It's, we've had quite a few artists in the last couple of years, especially after the COVID years, of just there's something inside that just needs to come out. You know, you're thinking about your family history, thinking about some traumatic events, and it's just got to come out. And actually, some of those work are actually the best works that come across our desks. It's fantastic that you kind of can get all that stuff out from inside and put it on a canvas. It's so clever.
Oh, thanks. Yeah, I mean, it's basically based on stories that my parents told me. And, you know, I've lived with that all my life. Mm. And I have to say, I'm hoping to get over it.
Is it a bit of a counselling session?
Well, yeah, it is in a way. But, you know, I sort of feel it's an intergenerational thing that's it probably needs to be diluted, which I know currently in today's day and age people are going through a similar if not worse situation.
Well, it makes this exhibition really relevant, I think, doesn't it?
It
tells a story that even though it was in the past, a lot of these things are really still relevant today, sadly.
Well, you know, I saw the Dalai Lama speak years ago in Wellington, and he said war should be ancient history, and it should be. So these works just came out. I mean, I started off with, in the summer of 2022, four canvases that I basically painted with very moody sort of atmospheric underpainting. And then I paused and I thought, I'm not quite sure what's going to happen here. And then, you know, Russia bombed Ukraine and I just thought, my God, here we go.
Here we go, and I know what I'm going to paint now.
Yeah. And, I mean, that sort of led to sort of the more relevant paintings for today.
Yes, because your exhibition is kind of almost in two halves, isn't it? You've kind of got this...
It is, yeah.
Kind of family history and what's going on today, but then you've also got this really quite different but similar kind of resilience in these kind of plant works, haven't you, that you've kind of got in the second half of your exhibition?
Yeah, I mean, those plant works are based on dehydrated specimens I saw in Te Papa that were collected by Joseph Banks on one of his voyages with Cook. And, you know, I can just imagine him coming to New Zealand and, I mean, I'm not sure what plants they were, could have been aki-aki, but just something very basic, just, you know, our natives.
Well, basic for us.
Basic for us, yeah, yeah. And, you know, he was fascinated by it and it had value to him to collect these items. So, I mean, I do have aki-aki growing in my garden. And
now, remind us what aki-aki looks like.
It actually has like sort of elongated leaves.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, yeah.
Yes.
And you have a green variety and a more purpley brown variety.
Yep.
I base these my aki-aki works on the brown variety, mm-hmm. and also because that related to the brown dehydrated specimens that are in Te Papa.
I love that they've got these specimens in Te Papa because for us, these specimens are just so normal, so everyday. But Joseph Banks, it must have been so extraordinary to see these absolutely out-of-the-box, weird-looking plants that they've never seen before.
Yeah.
And to kind of take specimens, you know, and kind of keep them and they get all dehydrated and now Te Papa have them. And you're like, well, they're just normal leaves. But I suppose for him, never seeing anything like that, it must be quite extraordinary.
Yeah, yeah. But also, I mean, with the native trees, they're pretty resilient and they just continue growing almost regardless of what the weather throws
yes,
at them.
Yes.
You know, and that's what I really love about them. And also, you know, when they flower, you know, the flowers are just so tiny and delicate and beautiful. So, you know, I wanted to do works based on botanical plants and trees, but I didn't want it to be representational. And as you know, my painting is not representational.
Yes. So if people have not seen your work, Rosalie, can you kind of describe what your work would look like? If they can't see it on the beautiful screen here at the moment, what would you describe?
Well,
your
I guess it's based on either abstract or gestural expressionism, and it's pretty fluid. And I tend to work in layers, so each layer needs to dry off before the next one goes on because I really don't want that sort of watercolour thing blending into each other.
Because these plant ones, they're watercolour, aren't they? But your other ones are oil?
Oil on acrylic.
On acrylic, yeah.
Yeah, and that's basically because apart from drying times, with the acrylic paint, that's when I lay down the basic layers and the basic colours. And acrylic paint tends to dry very flat and dull. And yes, I know you can buy very expensive ones, but I don't have very expensive ones. But it also allows me to work into them with oil.
Okay, so the kind of the swooshes, the movements, the oil, and the background is the acrylic. Yeah.
No, the oil is actually covering the acrylic.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, and another thing I've really loved about painting, the way I do paint, is just adding depth to it because it's just something I've craved. You know, often I've done a work and I think it just needs to breathe. It needs a bit of depth. There's a lot of movement going on. So I basically add shadows or darker colours and just to give that movement. And with my watercolours, I basically work into them with graphite, sometimes pastel, but mainly graphite. And, it's a very meditative process, really.
What I like about your exhibition is that you're walking down, because it's in the Windows Gallery, so it's a really long space, and you just get hit by this green wall with these beautiful line of native trees and native plants in. And it's almost like you're going through this horrible, you know, war and these awful stories, but then you kind of almost breathe when you get to the end and you're like, you're in the middle of the bush and you don't know what's going on and you can just breathe again. And it's just so lovely, but it's challenging at the same time. You know, you're walking through, seeing all those awful stories, that awful history, but then you breathe at the end. And I think that's a really lovely kind of progression through the gallery.
Yeah, thanks. Yeah, I mean, that's deliberate. I tend to work in two media, but if I'm painting with acrylics and oils, I'll do either watercolours or monoprinting. And it's something I do just to balance off what I'm sort of processing while I'm painting.
Yes, I suppose it must be quite cathartic. So, When you're saying that these layers take a long time to dry, is it days, weeks? How long does it take you to finish a painting?
Well, it depends on the weather. Summertime, summertime it's, you know, a few days here and there. Yeah. Winter, maybe a week. So, you know, that means I have to work on more than one work at the time. The oil paint could take maybe 2 weeks to dry.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah. No wonder you're doing a few things at once.
Yeah. I mean, summer, obviously, is a lot better, but... And some colours dry faster than the others, and anything with white in it takes forever.
Well, let's talk about your colours briefly, because obviously you've got your bush, your native tree ones, but actually they're not all the same colour either. They're browns and greens and purples and greys, but your the long wall work, the larger works, there's a lot of very similar colours, lots of reds and creams. Where do those kind of colours, what do those colours kind of mean?
Right, well, the works you're referring to are probably folk costume and...
Oh, yes, in fact, I've got a picture of folk costume.
..and the Ukraine folk costume.
Let's pop that up on the screen.
And probably, you know, I've read a book called 20,000 Years of Woman's Work. I can't remember the writer now, sorry. And just going back to the essential way that textiles evolved throughout Eastern Europe and the Middle East, they basically had a lot of plant matter to dye these.
Makes sense.
And also inspirational sort of flowers like poppies to, guide them in their design work. So, you know, those colours, I mean, usually... the intensity of them isn't something I would work with. I prefer the colours in my watercolours, which are very subdued. I really had to push myself to use such an intense palette. But as you can see, they are moderated by neutrals. And the thing is, with my layering, each layer is symbolic. So, the reds will be relating to colours used in folk costumes, but poppies and botanical colours. The neutrals are basically what I call earthbound colours, so, you know, stone and rocks.
Because you're really quite interested in kind of that history of the world, I suppose, aren't you? Kind of with rocks and gravel and earth and... There's so much time in New Zealand, isn't there? So much time under the ground.
Yeah.
I think you said to me something about gravel, about how old gravel is and how nobody really notices gravel.
I know.
And it's actually ridiculously old, and that we should really appreciate this.
It's like 300 million years old.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, and, you know.
And what do we use it for?
Oh, driveways.
Driveways, yes.
Yeah. So, you know, but I mean, you could just go down to the river and find amazing rocks down there. And in different colours. So, yeah, but I mean, yeah, I am interested in planet Earth, basically.
Just as a general.
Yeah, just generally planet Earth, yeah.
What's lucky.
Yeah.
Should we have our first song, Rosalie?
Yeah, go for it.
Okay, let's just pop that off the screen there. Rosalie, what's your first song now? I've not heard of either of these two, either this band that you've chosen. Do you want to give us a quick overview of Woven Hand? How did you find them?
Okay, well, you know, I'm a huge Nick Cave fan. I have been for years, and via social media, I hooked onto this band Woven Hand because another Nick Cave fan was forever posting Woven Hand. And I thought, oh, look, I've got to really just go down and you know, listen to their music. And I absolutely loved it. Very atmospheric, very dark. I think it's considered gothic rock. In fact, somebody wrote a review saying, maybe not these particular pieces, but other works were like extreme metal. But I really don't think it's extreme metal. I mean, but Woven Hand is headed by a guy called David Eugene Edwards, who is based in Colorado. He actually has said that he's influenced by Nick Cave and a variety of other quite heavy bands. But he is a Christian, so...
Okay. You're good at it.
So, you know, it's a very interesting combination. And Nick Cave sort of started off singing in his church choir, you know, and yes, things yep. like that. Yep, so yep. I don't know, maybe it's something about people that have that sort of in-depth.
There's a darkness in them.
Well, yeah, I mean, but I don't find his music depressing. It's just very deep and beautiful.
Do you listen to it while you're painting?
Absolutely, okay. Yeah. Yeah.
All right, so imagine everyone, imagine Rosalie in her studio painting to this. All right, let's go and listen to it. Thank you, Rosalie.
Okay.
Back in a minute. was certainly different.
I'm glad you enjoyed it.
I did enjoy it. We don't normally get quite, what do you call it, gothic rock?
I think that's what I've heard it being classified as, although I don't think you can classify it. It's in its own realm. Honestly, it's just, I just find Woven Hand amazing.
I can really visualise you painting to it.
Yeah.
Absolutely. That was called The Refractory, was that one?
Yep.
Yep. If you watch that on our YouTube channel, you'll see the quite interesting video. It was quite a dark. I did enjoy it though, so thank you. We've got another Woven Hand coming up later, so there's a second one to enjoy. Yeah. Okay, Rosie, I thought what we would do before our next song is to have a look at some of your images, some of your paintings, and have a bit of a talk about what they mean, the underlying stories. And I thought we probably should start with your Shadowing Lands, which is kind of the one that is right at the beginning of the show. I'm just trying to find it on my screen. Do you want to let us know why it's called Shadowing Lands? What's the title referring to?
Okay, the whole show is called Shadowing Lands, and basically it is about my background, my family history, and being a first generational New Zealander, sort of feeling more of this place, but just having that background behind me. And this painting sort of ties in all of those aspects. So I think generally it is more based along the lines of what my watercolours are like, that's Ukrainian folk costume.
Yeah, I was going to say, that's not right. I don't think I've got a photo. For some reason, I don't have a photo. You'll have to just imagine.
Okay, so, I'm thinking about the bush in this work. Mm. And when I first started it, it was a bit of a green sky evening. And I was almost going to call it a green sky evening. But then
green sky evening?
Yeah, because looking out into the garden, and I've got a paddock next to me, and all the dried grasses were turning sort of reddish and very interesting colours, which were only there very briefly. Mm. That is what I was trying to capture. But then also I have poppies growing in my garden, so there's that intense red again.
Those kind of big, I've caught some in my garden that almost have just, they're quite poofy.
I have both, actually. Okay. Yeah.
Glad you know what you mean. Poofy flowers.
Sort of the soldier poppies mixed with Shirley poppies. Yeah. So basically, that painting is a blend of all my ideas together.
I suppose it's very much I'm right here, right now.
Kind of work. Yeah.
Because that starts off our exhibition, doesn't it? It starts off the.
It does.
The exhibition. It's kind of a, I'm here, this is who I am, this is what I'm kind of about. And then we move into some darker works about your family history. There was one called Wolves, isn't there? Let me see if I can find
Encroaching Wolves.
Encroaching Wolves.
Yeah.
Let's see if I can find that one. I've taken all these photos, and stupidly, I've taken all the... let me just check with Rosalie, is this the right one? Oh, whoops. Is that...
No.
There we go.
No.
Goodness.
No.
That one.
Yes.
Oh, goodness.
Okay. That's okay. This is one of the original ones that I did early on in 2022, and it's based on a story that my mum told me. I mean, the Polish people along the eastern borderlands were transported by the Soviets to Siberia, and... living in work camps for a couple of years, and during the winter, wolves used to come along at night howling, and, my mum was, the children were terrified of them.
Imagine.
Because they were searching for food. That actually has silver leaf on top, and that is the sound of three wolves that are crying and howling, and sort of so the sound is rising and falling and almost as if it's tracking backwards on itself. I don't do representational stuff for a reason, because I find with abstract work you can add so many more layers, and it's almost like the layers in there are symbolic. And that white that sort of glows behind the majority of them is almost like a spiritual force, just sort of a bit of light, you know, that may be suffocated at the time due to circumstances. But yeah, so that top layer are basically wolves crying, you know, and people just trying to live with that sound.
Oh, it must have been terrifying.
Well, the cabins were only wooden huts, basically. Yeah.
You just can't imagine, can you? Just can't imagine how scary it must have been to hear those wolves in the middle of the night just going, oh, my God.
Well, the thing is also people were dying, and because the land was frozen, they just had to throw them outside. And you knew that whoever died during the night was being taken by the wolves. It's pretty terrible what went on. You know, you're talking about extreme survival.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Gosh. I think this one, and I think folk costume, the copper silver leaf, I really like both of them. I think they kind of do kind of speak to each other, don't they? That resilience. But I also love that way that you can, the metallic almost is a voice or music or just some kind of sound.
Yeah.
And I think that's fabulous. It really does evoke that kind of screamy howliness of the wolves, but then in folk costume, that beautiful music that you can kind of have that movement to.
Yeah,
I think it's so clever.
Oh, thank you. I use the metallics to represent sound, because how can I represent sound? And I don't just want it to be a pretty decorative layer. It's there for a reason.
Yeah, it's got to be there. It's served its purpose. It's got to be there for.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, well, I was going to show you. I was going to put up folk costume as well, just because I think they're similar but also very different. And again, I do quite like the colours and that beautiful copper. I can't find it now. I've got too many pictures here, Rosalie. I took all the pictures except the ones I need. There we go. Let's pop this one up. So if you are looking on our YouTube channel, you can have a look at some of these images. But yes, you'll see there that copper swirl, that music. I can really visualise that music and kind of twirling and just, you know, movement and I love it.
Yeah, thank you. And it's intertwined with what's happening underneath it. So, that was basically based on a Polish folk costume. And I do know that a lot of them, I mean, they have colours that are out of this world. Like, you're talking about combinations of, like, shocking pink and orange.
Really?
And, you know, I mean, I could have really gone overboard with that kind of thing. But again, I've sort of added a little bit more neutral sort of earth colours to it. I mean, I don't know. How else could you possibly depict that kind of thing?
Yes. Who or why do you think these folk costumes are so resilient? Why do you think we still have them? Why do you think it's so important even to do a picture of a Polish folk costume?
You know, for me, it's almost like a point of defiance against warmongers and cultural destroyers. You know, and it is women's work, and it isn't something, I mean, yeah, sure, in today's day and age, people manufacture them by machines, but back in the day, embroideries and weaving, it took a lot of time, and they were valued, and I think, you know, with sort of village life and social engagements, that's when people would actually dress up in their folk costumes, you know, as a source of pride and unity and also resilience, you know. I think that's why I focused in on that. And I really feel I might be painting a few more, even if it's just to hang in my house.
Yeah.
You know, it's...
Well, I really like this folk costume series because you've got a Ukrainian one as well, haven't you? Ukrainian, and this Polish one. I really love that series. I think it's a really clever way into resilience, because you're right, it's something that kind of makes that culture stay, isn't it? And
you can't
kind of just easily just wipe it from the face of existence. Those kind of traditions are still there and they're ingrained in the culture. I think you should definitely do some more folk costumes. I think they're fabulous. I think you definitely do. Talking of folk costumes and kind of colours that represent a nation, should we talk about Hikoi? Because I think that's quite a fascinating one. And hopefully I've got a picture of this one, surely. Because I think that really shows the colours you've used for that one, I think, are really quite clever, because you went on the Hikoi last year. Was it really last November? It must have been, wasn't it? Last year sometime. And hopefully I've got it. There we go. Is that the right one? Hopefully this is the right one. Hopefully. Oh, goodness.
Yeah, that's it.
Is that the one? Yes. Excellent. Yeah. So what I love here is the black and the red and the white, very New Zealand-y colours. Tell us a little bit about the story behind this one, Rosalie.
Okay. I ended up going to the Wellington Hikoi last year, mainly because a few people from Carterton were carpooling, so I managed to... it just made things a lot easier. Yeah. And we basically walked from the railway station and joined the Hikoi down Lambton Quay, and the first thing we saw were just the flags, and that was... such an impressive sight. And
I think you really have to be there, because just seeing on the news, it wasn't, it looks impressive, but I can imagine just being in that throng of just people waving flags and banners. It must have felt incredible.
Yeah, well, they were actually moving down Lambton Quay quite slowly, and they were singing, and it was almost like a peace rally. You know, it was such a peaceful feeling, but yet... very determined, and again, that sense of unity. Everybody ended up by Parliament. So in this work, I've got the green, which is like the Pūtekawa, the red and white and black, obviously the flags. There's a grey in there for the buildings in Wellington, and that sort of pale ochre colour, that is, you know, a few women, over their black dresses wore pupus, and it just the colours really made an impact on me. And you know, even standing there, I thought, how would, because I work with seven colours, I'm sort of standing there by Parliament thinking, what colours would I include into a painting that will be representative of this particular day? And so, obviously, it's got the movement going on. It was a beautiful day, even though I've painted it on a board that's a little bit moody, but that just...
I think that's a representation of the feeling, perhaps, rather than a gloomy day.
Yeah, and I mean, it did end sort of late afternoon, so it was not getting dark, but it was, you know...
You know what Wellington's like by then, it's kind of...
a few shadows were occurring. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
But I just love the movement in this one. I think it feels very energetic, and I really like it. I really love the black and the red and the white. Just, you can really imagine those flags being waved.
Yeah,
Just
and the Wellington
down the, yeah.
breeze.
Yeah. Yes, exactly. I love it. Okay, I think on to our second song by Woven Hand again.
Yes. Sparrow Falls.
Give us talk us about why you've chosen Sparrow Falls.
Oh, it's just such a beautiful lyrical song. Another thing that I love about this recording is that you can hear all the instruments. It isn't like some hyped up production, but obviously very well produced at the same time. So, and David Eugene Edwards often plays interesting guitars and instruments, sometimes the banjo. So I just love the way it's sounding, basically.
Perfect. All right. Yeah. And we've actually got a live video for this one, which is quite cool. So you can actually see them in their, I was going to say the real persons, but actually what they look like. And I'm with you, Rosalie. I can see a Nick Cave influence, definitely. But yeah, you're right. I think Nick Cave is far too, what's the word? I've lost the word.
Stop.
Yeah. Yes. Right. Let's get on with this. Here we go. Enjoy this. So this is Woven Hand, Sparrow Falls.
allows my skin to crawl away from every evil thing is. In a cotton mouth, in a cotton mouth, quick across the water brim. Your hands speak of a broken door handle, of thoughts and deeds. A little bird sings, yes, a little bird sings. Stars climb on the face of the water, quiet comes on the wing of a lark. Call out in an old of your dark. Runs right through my head. It's water still under the bridge. We've come together in a horsehead union. Hang my tobacco hands from a beam. Silver handle in chest of drawers. Out of the longhouse, I took what's yours. I took what's yours. I will you no grief, nor to see you fall. Once out of my tune, I'm done with that. I mean you no harm at all. Cause my skin to crawl away from every evil thing, yes.
Thank you.
Thank you, Rosalie. That was awesome. I really enjoyed that. I'm going to be checking out some more Woven Hand. It is quite dark, so maybe on the days I'm needing a bit of a moment,
yeah,
that's what I'm going to go for.
Yeah.
Hey, we've only got about 15 minutes left, so should we have a bit of a chat about things about your exhibition that I'm quite intrigued by? Because I always often ask people this, is what are you most proud of in your exhibition? What do you think you kind of go, I'm super proud of a particular piece or how it turned out, or yeah, what's made you kind of go, oh, I'm so proud of this?
Well, I think my favourite painting is Ukrainian folk costume. But as a whole, putting an exhibition together is a phenomenal thing. So I'm just proud of the whole lot.
You should be. It's a really hard thing to do. It's quite challenging to put a whole body of work together.
Well, especially, you know, considering the subject matter. And I know that when I started those paintings that these were not for like a commercial gallery and nobody would get it, and it would be pointless putting them anywhere else. So thanks to the Aratoy for letting me air them out. And, you know, they can exist there in the exhibition within a context that people can read and, you know, that sort of narrative that's going through there. So,
because I don't imagine people realise quite how long the process has taken, because I think you put your exhibition proposal in maybe even 2 years ago, maybe a bit longer. I think you must have just started those black and white paintings, those first few or four. And it's always interesting because they come across my desk and some just pop out and you go, yes, that's going to be amazing. And yours is one of them. And I just knew it was just going to be fabulous because it was so different. And it actually had a reason behind it and a purpose, and just the story behind it was fabulous. And I don't think people realise quite how much work it is to get a body of work like that together. It's a lot of effort. Yeah. It's a lot of time, especially if you don't know they're going to be sold at the end or not. You know, people might not want them, you know, in their homes, but you still have to make it. And there's an awful lot of work and a lot of money to go into an exhibition. So, I mean, I think everyone who ever goes into an exhibition should really go, actually, there's a lot of work behind the scenes going into exhibitions like this.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, people don't really realise it. It's not like, you know, in 1 or 2 days I can whack out a painting.
Yes, just chuck out another one.
You know, and, you know, be like a machine on a production level. I mean, it is a production level thing, but it's very slow. And, and as I said, you know, when I have to wait for the paint to dry.
Yes.
You know, so. Yeah.
So what was the hardest thing about the exhibition?
You know, I think it's just putting yourself out there. Mm. And as you say, you don't know if things are going to be selling, which I don't really know either. But, just putting yourself out there. And I think every artist goes through that.
Oh, totally.
Yeah. It's not easy, but you have to do it.
Because at the moment we're asking for proposals for 2027. What kind of advice would you give somebody who wants to put a proposal in for an exhibition at Aratoy? What would you suggest?
Oh, my God.
I mean, obviously Aratoy is amazing.
Just think
to
what
work
you
with.
Want to do.
Yeah.
Don't go running yourself thin with trying to make everybody happy. Just really do something for yourself and concentrate on that, I think.
Just be quite clear on your...
Focused.
Focused. That's the word I was grasping for. Thank you. Yeah, focused. Yeah. Because we do often get quite a lot of proposals of, the sky here is so big and, the mountains are so green.
Yeah.
And you're like, actually, you know, what are you actually trying to, what story are you actually trying to tell? So I think when yours came across my desk, especially, it was so clear what story you wanted to tell, and kind of that resilient story was so important that it was a clear winner in my view.
Yeah,
okay. And I'm so pleased that you enjoy the exhibition. I'm glad that you enjoyed putting it together, even if it was quite a challenge, and how proud you are that it's actually on the wall and it looks fabulous.
Well, thank you.
You should be really proud. So we've already talked about you're going to carry on with doing a few more folk costumes.
Yeah.
I think that's an awesome idea. But is the rest of it finished? Is it still open-ended? Are you just going to stop? What are you going to do next? I mean, what's after
Shadowing
Land?
No, there's no such thing as stopping.
I'm done.
Yeah, probably I will continue, but also over the last year or so, I've been doing collaborative work with a duo called Pupettes, which is Zach Winterwood and Anthony Milton.
Yes.
And we've done a couple of live gigs where I've been doing live painting to their music.
Wow. How does that work?
Well, they play their guitars, and I just basically have, well, initially I had canvases, but like loose canvas that can be rolled up and transported. And the second time it was just huge sheets of paper. So the first time we did that was at Common Ground in Featherston. Yeah. That was a really good turnout, and that was a fantastic night. And then the second time we did it at the James Gilbert Photo Space Gallery in Courtney Place.
Oh, yes.
So,
wow, that sounds quite different, because very quick compared to the slow, methodical work you've been doing for this.
Well, I have to have everything pre-mixed and in acrylic, and just all sort of in jars or bottles or, you know, whatever. And, yeah, I mean, that would be like a 40, 45-minute session.
Wow.
And I'm actually surprised at how much I can whack out in that time.
And how big?
Yeah, huge – well, not huge, but, you know, quite large scale. And, yeah, I mean, maybe I should run with that for a bit just to maybe move things along a bit.
Yeah, do something a little bit different.
Yeah.
Is it your same kind of style, or is it quite different?
It's the same kind of style, the same brushes that I've been using, but obviously just sort of on a more sort of on the same level, rather than sort of layers, although I do try to layer it.
It's because in 45 minutes there can't be a huge amount of layers because things will still be wet.
Well, I move on from piece to piece, actually. I sort of start off with like a pale colour and move to each piece. Usually with, I think there were three pieces in at both gigs. And so by the time I go back to the first one, it has semi-dried.
Oh, I just imagine there was just one enormous piece, but that makes sense if you've got a couple on the go.
Yeah, yeah, three pieces on the go in both situations,
And I love, your work is so, there's so much movement in it anyway. It must be quite fun to produce something at the end after listening to this music.
So maybe we'll continue with that. I also have other sort of loose canvases, and the reason I'm doing work on loose canvases is because of storage issues, and basically can just roll them up afterwards.
That's true, because I've been to your house and your lovely little studio. It is little. I'm not sure you can put too many big canvases in your studio, but yeah, I think maybe loose canvases is probably a good way to go.
So I have a few in progress at the moment. But I really am craving to make a dent in my printmaking supplies.
Oh, a printmaker. I didn't know you could do printmaking.
Yeah, what I kind did of printmaking at art school as well. But monoprinting. Mainly because of the facilities to do like etching or whatever. I mean, yeah, I could probably find somewhere to do that, but I just want to work at home. So,
Well, that sounds really quite different. I like that you've kind of got a few different tangents to go on. That's fantastic. Finally, then, before we wrap up, what would you like people to take away from the exhibition when they come in and see it? Because it's open until the 2nd of November, so you've got a few more weeks to come and see it.
Yeah.
So if people come in, what do you want to get them to kind of take away from the exhibition?
Well, I suppose, you know, just to consider what's going on in the world, consider their own family stories.
I suppose every family's got something in the history, haven't they?
Yeah, absolutely. I don't know, maybe just to, you know, be themselves and value different people and their cultures, I think,
Different traditions.
Absolutely,
Rosalie, it's been so lovely to talk to you. Thank you so much for coming in. I know you didn't particularly want to talk on the radio, but you were fantastic.
And thank you.
You were so good to talk to. Thank you. And your exhibition, Shadowing Lands, is out until the 2nd of November. So ages to actually people come and have a look. And it's at the moment alongside Robin White and Taiko Ogawa's work, which is actually very similar. So I think those two exhibitions really do speak to each other, you know, about different traditions and the horrors of war, because the exhibition is about the Holocaust, the bombing of Nagasaki. So I think
Hiroshima.
It's Hiroshima. Thank you. Thank you very much. See, this is I need more coffee. And we've also got Alice Hoskins, who is a a 1920s illustrator, I suppose, of plants. So she's in the exhibition Let's Have a Tea Party. I heard some of her botanical sketchbooks as well, you know, talking about women and resilience and, you know, documenting these things. So do go and have a look at that if you are to go and see Rosalie's exhibition. Apart from that, I do want to do one more plug. And if you can see on the screen, there we go. Good old Great Aunt Art Town is coming up in a couple of weeks' time. It looks quite fun. There's like a giant mural and concerts and all sorts. But there's also some lovely open shoes. Are you in this, Rosalie?
No.
Oh, that would have been quite cool to go and see yours. You've had all this. I got lost coming to your house, didn't I? I couldn't find your house at all. So probably a good idea that people don't stop turning up. But Anna Toy's in here, so do come and have a look. It's a perfect time to come and see Rosalie's exhibition as well as that. So that just leaves me to say see you next time and have a good week. Thank you so much, Rosalie, for joining us. And talk to you next. Okay, bye.